Well, greetings to you once again, brothers and sisters around the world, in the name of the Most High. I greet you amidst all that takes place on the earth right now at such a time as this, with all that's going on. How are you? I always got to ask you, how you doing? Because I know sometimes it gets a little bit rough. Things that we go through, the things that we experience, the ups and downs, the twists and turns, the struggles, the tribulations of being in this paradigm, of being in this experience that we call life, that we call being human here, where it just seems like there's so many enemies to you just being you, to you just being what you were made to be, to being an expression of what you were made to be. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes I've kind of wondered that. Why is there such opposition to you just being what you were made to be? You're being a blessing to people. You're trying to help where you can. You're trying to make a difference. You've got certain things that you're inspired to do within. And yet, you have seemingly opposition around you. You try to bring something forward, it gets crushed, it gets hindered. People ignore you when you're down. They don't see you while you're trying to work it out, grind it out, and then when you're up, there's jealousy and people want to tear it apart, whatever it is that you created. That's not a properly functioning world. You know, an amazing functioning world would be, and which would be very easy to do actually, a world of abundance. Because we have that, where every person has far more than they need. And they have the ability to create. They have the ability to bring forward ideas and thoughts and to manifest them for the betterment of the world that they live in and the people that are around them, as well as for their own human experience. A life in a world where people encourage each other, affirm each other, bring the best out in each other, look to help one another, not hurt and steal and connive from one another. And when there is no lack, you remove the incentive to destroy each other. The scarcity mindset, the scarcity mentality, so often creates in people that desire to survive at the cost of somebody else, and they do destruction to others around them in just the way that they relate to things, to life, to resource, to experiences. See, when somebody has an abundance, have you ever seen that? When somebody is in abundance, they're relaxed. They're not worried. They're not concerned. They're in a place where things flow, and so they can be in a difficult situation, but there's a relax and an ease with them because they have significantly. And have you ever seen too when somebody is in a poverty mindset, and that may not be affected by the actual resources that they have in their control? It's a mindset, it's a place, it's a state of being, it's something that comes from within a person and not necessarily from the external circumstance. But when somebody has a poverty mindset, how whatever's going on, they can't relax, they can't be a blessing to other people. They're always worried about what everything costs. They're always looking for, you know, they're always taking. They're never giving. You know, a lot of the world has been pushed into that. A lot of the world has been trained to think like that. You look outside, things in the natural world grow. We have abundant energy. We have resource that's there, and yet these things are kept away from people and they wonder, how are they going to make it? Now, when you see that the systems themselves are set up to reinforce scarcity, you've got to ask yourself the question, why? Why would the systems be set up for that? What would be the service to that? Who are they serving? Who are the systems themselves serving? Because they don't serve humanity. They don't serve the best interest of you and I. The systems themselves don't serve you being a maximum manifestation and representation of who you are meant to be while you're here. It's not served by the system. So you have to do that independently at this point until we have systems that actually do the right thing. But what do the systems themselves serve? And who do they serve? Well, by and large, from my observation, they serve the control structures, whatever they may be. So, for example, let's just go through one quick one. The financial systems, specifically the fiat currency systems used by many nation states, well, by their very design, they erode value through inflationary pressures, along with, you know, the way that taxation is done in many cases. They get you from both sides, and the value of whatever you create disappears. If you put $100 on the table, you walk away for a year, you come back, that $100 is not worth what it was a year ago. It may have the same denomination, but it can't purchase what it did a year ago. So where did that value go? Well, that's the design of the system. And when a system is created so that it can erode value from you without you even knowing where it went, then, and whoever made it, that's not a design flaw, people. That's created by intention. And when it's made that way by intention, whoever it is that's eroding that value and siphoning it off to themselves, those are the ones that you need to be looking at. And usually they want to stay hidden because they don't want you to see what they're doing. They want you to use the system that you've been given by them, so you participate in it and you don't see how they siphon off from you while you're participating in it and while you're using it. So they would give you a bucket with holes in it and the water would drain out when you could have a bucket that has no holes in it. And when you use that one, it holds its value, it holds its worth, it holds what's inside of it. That's the principle of sound money. So you could have that. You should have that. But the people that have designed by intention, not a design flaw, the systems that most of the world participates in, they themselves create something to erode the value and siphon it off from you to them. Now, what happens when the people themselves decide, you know what, I don't like this one. I don't like this system. I think I'm going to try to use something else. Try it. See what happens. Get a critical mass of users and see what happens. Soon as you hit a critical mass of people that are using and switching from one to the other, now here come the regulators. Now here come the paid for quote unquote mass media outlets to now put out all the horror stories and all the destructive narratives about what people are trying to do by creating this other thing that's not been tested, not been tried, never been done before. Find one or two isolated cases of some sort of abuse that takes place and paint the whole thing with that brush so that you now think, oh, that's the worst thing ever. Let me quickly go back to my control structure that I just was starting to think about getting off of. Soon as they start, and if they can't keep people from going on to that other system, then here comes the force. Here comes now the guys with the handcuffs. Here comes now the paid for military force to seize assets, to destroy things, to blow them up. You see, there's no competition allowed. No. If you can't be bought, then you must be crushed. Because there's no space for something that's by and for the people. If it exists, and if they allow it to thrive, it usually serves the control structure one way or the other. You just got to look for it a little bit. I do believe some amazing things can be done, but people have to get their egos out of the way, and they really have to be honest with where they're coming from with what they do. Listen, we need to be creating incredible value for each other, and we can. But it takes some design, it takes some effort, and we've got to also recognize the pitfalls and the traps that are there continuously to try to keep things from manifesting for the betterment of the world around us. Are there energy solutions out there? Absolutely. Are there resource solutions out there? Absolutely. Are there things that could maximize the consumption of our resources, stretch and multiply the resources that we have? Food, water, clothing, energy, you know, basic necessities, healthcare. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine people being just healthy completely all the time? I mean, that would be a pain in the butt for the medical industrial complex, which wants treatments and not cures. Because when you've got a treatment, you've got a customer. And the more you treat them, the better your customer, right? But if you've got a cure and people come in and one and you're done and you walk out and that's it, now what? That's not good for business. It's not good for the business of medicine. It's great for the practice of medicine. It's great for the oath of medicine, but it's not good for the business of medicine. And by and large, the world has been controlled by business and commercial interests and financial interests far more than morals and ethics and integrity and truth and the things that are the better part of what is human. So for us, where we are right now, you know, we've got to deal with this context we're in, and we've also got to make some adjustments as we continue to go on. It's not been easy, you know. You try to do the right thing, and so often we get delayed, so often we get crushed, so often we get attacked. But you know what? You'll have peace in your heart by always seeking to do the right thing. It's tough to get through this life in this world unscathed. It's darn near impossible. You're going to take hits. But in the hits that you take, you got to keep going. Don't worry. Okay? Don't be perplexed. I mean, when you do get down, be real. Be real about it. You know, with what you're struggling with, what you're facing. Go within. You know, I do appeal to our Creator, the one that's has by His design us here. I'll bring things back to Him. It's along the lines of, Father, okay, you know, we're here. What do we do? What do we do with this situation, Father? This is where we are right now. What do we do with this? I do believe that we have the answer for a lot of the problems and the challenges we face. And without us looking at outside of ourselves and looking external, the admonition was the kingdom was within. The king's dominion is with and in you. the kingdom is within. The king's dominion is with and in you. So the application of that, you know, I can give you a bank card with $100,000 on it, but if you never use it, it's just sitting there. You know, the application of your authority, your power, your imagination. When you see it, when you believe it, when you understand it, you will see the manifestation of it. You know what? Okay. Faith, right? Okay, the scriptures say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So it's the substance. So it's the manifestation of what? Of it's what may not necessarily right now be apparent, but you know that it's there. You know that it's real. You understand that it's the substance, therefore. So it's the manifestation, it's the stuff. It's the of what is possibly at this moment ethereal, this moment kind of out there, but it becomes real. It comes into the paradigm that all around you end up seeing and understanding what you have seen and you would have understood. Your experience now becomes others' experience, because you see and know and understand, and now they see and know and understand as well. It's a powerful thing when you start to recognize this aspect of what you are as a source being, as a being with the kingdom within, that river of living water flowing from you. When you have that and you move in that power, it flows from and through you. They always try to keep you away from that. They want you to be looking outside of yourself and begging something somewhere to do something for you, when it's already within you. And when you start to see the manifestation of what you want, that's when it will, when you see it within, it will manifest without. You see it within and you hold to that, unwavering, it'll manifest without. There's an assurance that you have within yourself, knowing what you see, knowing what is there. There are certain things that I know are on the horizon that will affect this world. So I hold space for it because I already see it. I know it. I'm just, it's on the way. And there's things that are large scale, and there's things that are, you know, life and personal. But whatever they may be, it's still the same principle. And as you go forward in that principle, and understanding that you now create in line with your purpose and your reason for being. You don't create their system, their programming, their lie, their illusion. You create from within and from what you were designed to do and to be while you're here. Not their thing, but that which is within you. It's your experience as a manifestation of the Creator and the kingdom within upon the earth. It's your experience that needs to have its voice, have its place, have its full run during this life. So do that. Alright, hey, we love you guys. Bless you all. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi. And keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. Bless you. Bye.